Hey, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians and the 13th chapter, and we'll look together at a great passage in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Hope you had a good afternoon and got a little nap, ate a little food, and rested a little bit. So, hey, we have enjoyed the week. Let me just stop real quickly and just say thanks very much for welcoming us in and allowing us to come and giving us the opportunity to preach God's Word. I always count it a privilege to be able to share that which God has said in His Word, and certainly there's nothing greater that I would enjoy. There's nothing better for me than just to be able to share with people the Word of God. And that is true for any of us. Though all of us may have different vocations, how we make our living or whatever, giving the Word of God and seeing people respond to the Word of God is just absolutely what thrills my soul. It probably does yours as well. So for me to be able to stand up publicly and do it, and for God to provide that way, then that's just a great privilege. And so you guys have been a part of that. Whatever the offering was that y'all gave for us, thank you very much. God has chosen for us to make our living, and allows us to continue to travel. And we're very grateful for your having given and for allowing us to continue on. Just so you know, and as you think too, you can pray for us. Tomorrow we will leave and head towards Virginia. It's just about, by car, a 4-hour drive. So with a trailer, it's about 13 hours. And we'll be down there, not really, but that's kind of how it feels. West Virginia, for crying out loud. I love West Virginia. If I wasn't pulling a trailer, I would love to drive through West Virginia. But I'll go a long ways to go around West Virginia when I have a trailer, just because, you know, you guys have some curves and hills and tunnels and scary things all around. So we have the trip tomorrow, and then after Virginia, we'll be there for a weekend. We're doing on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, we'll be doing a special deal for couples, and then we start a revival meeting Sunday night, and it goes through Thursday, and then we head to New Jersey, thank you, and after New Jersey, then we head to Canada, and after Canada, then we head to Arizona, and we'll be there for a few weeks. And then we head back to Tennessee. And so we have miles to go before we sleep and miles to go before we sleep. So as you think too, if you didn't grab one of our bookmarks that has our family picture on it and just kind of a prayer reminder, we certainly would appreciate it if you would. And as you think too, I know probably, I mean, I walk past the table of cards back there. So I know you guys have a lot of people come through. And so I'm sure a number of you already pray for different folks on a regular basis. We would count it an honor to be a part of that. And just stick it in your Bible, and as you see the card, then ask the Lord to help us, and we would greatly appreciate it. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and we're going to read together verse number 13, and actually, we're just going to read the first part of the verse. We'll start at the first part of verse number 13 and read till the semicolon is, and so it just gives us a few words at the beginning of this verse here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three." Do you mind just reading that passage with me? Let me give the reference again, and then you read the verse with me. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three." Okay, let's try it one more time. And I know it's Sunday night, and you had a nap, or you're getting ready to take one now, or whatever the case may be. But I want you to read with just enough energy to make it alive to you. If you read like a robot, you'll be asked to leave the church. So please read with a little bit of energy. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three." Father, help us, please, as we look together at your word tonight, to learn the things we need to learn, to grow as we need to grow. Help me, dear Father, please, to be succinct and clear with what your word says and what it intends for us to, how you intend for us to live as a result of what you have said here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask these things. Amen. Hey, do you remember 7th grade science class? No? Some of you, it's been a few years. In 7th grade science class is where I learned about energy. Now, you may have learned about it in 4th grade because you're much smarter than I am. But in 7th grade, we had in our science textbook an explanation of energy and the two types of energy that there are. And they were illustrated on opposing pages by a picture. The picture looked basically the same. On the one picture was a mountain and a rock that was sitting right on the precipice of that mountain, but it was just sitting there. Next page over showed the other kind of energy, and it was illustrated by the rock rolling down the mountain. So these two types of energy. Just out of curiosity, do any of you remember far enough back, however far that was, what the two types of energy were? The kind with the rock sitting on the edge of the hill. Do you know what it's called? Well done, class. Good job. Some of you really paid attention in class. I remember it because I looked it up like a number of years ago. You actually remembered. And then the kind where the rock is rolling down the hill. Anybody know? You guys are amazing. Okay, so potential and kinetic energy. Potential energy is what could be happening. Here's the rock sitting on the hill. Nothing's actually taking place, but the potential is there. It's on the precipice. It's on the edge. Kinetic is what is taking place, where energy is being produced by the rock rolling down the hill. So you have both potential and kinetic. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to a group of people in a church where, in essence, he is explaining to them how to move from potentially being used by God to kinetically being used by God. You know this, but potential doesn't really mean much. Everybody has potential. Everybody does. Everybody could possibly, in the Christian, when we're talking about this, everybody could be used by God. Everybody could be great in their field. Everybody could do something, but not everybody does. So what is it that makes a difference? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote to a church who was just on the edge of being used by God. They had some issues that had to be dealt with, some things that needed to be taken care of before they were going to be kinetically used by God. Now, I will tell you that I'm not interested for myself and for the people to whom I'm privileged to preach, certainly not for my family. I'm not interested in our just potentially being used by God. I want to be kinetically used by God. We pray for our church in Nashville, Tennessee on a regular basis, and we ask our God on behalf of our church that God would allow us to be used in the city where we are. I don't want Nolensville Road Baptist Church, that's my home church, I don't want Nolensville Road Baptist Church to be potential, to have the potential of being used by God. I want us to be kinetically used by God. I want to see God use us. Now, isn't that what you want for your life? Wouldn't you like to be kinetically used by God? Okay, so what does it take? Since everybody has potential, everybody here does, what does it take to move from potentially being used by God to being kinetically used by God? What makes that happen? Well, the Apostle Paul goes through in 1 Corinthians a bunch of things, but he summarizes everything in 1 Corinthians 13 and specifically in verse number 13, where he, in essence, lays out these three things that we just read about, verse number 13. These three things, that all of these things must be a part of your life if you're going to be kinetically used by God. So in the time that we have together, I'm just going to walk through these things and see what we can learn, because it's our desire for you to be kinetically used by God, as it is your desire. It's what God wants for you as well. So look down at verse number 13 one more time, 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three." So these are the three things that have to be in your life if you're going to be kinetically used by God. Real quickly, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing that what God says is so and depending on God to do what he says he will do. Now, faith is where everything begins. You know this. A person cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior unless they receive him by faith. Faith is what begins our relationship with God. Faith is the way that we have to walk in our life if we're going to be used by God. Now, I will tell you that faith comes easy when everything is made plain before me and the path is laid out straight in front of me. I know what it is I'm supposed to do. And when everything is going well, sometimes faith gains a little teeth to it. That is, sometimes I have to believe God when it goes against the way that I feel, or it goes against what other people's advice for me may be. Sometimes faith has teeth to it when I can't see as clearly every step in front of me, but I know what God has said in his word, and I know what I should do, or I'm seeking God for a specific answer. Okay, then all of a sudden, faith kind of has a different color, a different taste to it. It has a little bit more heft to it because I have to believe God in the midst of not getting it or not understanding or not seeing the way clearly. Okay, but faith, listen, faith is absolutely necessary if you and I are going to be kinetically used by God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we cannot see prayers answered. Without faith, we cannot see God do great and mighty things. The grace of God, the ability of God, the gifts of God, the enabling of God comes to those who believe that what God says is so and depend on God for the power to do that which He has called us to do. Now, friend, faith comes from an understanding of the Scripture so that it is important that this church and you in your life and you for your family build your life based upon what God has said about everything, about everything. Now, again, I don't know anybody's situation. Pastor hasn't said anything to me about anybody, so I don't know. I'm just going to throw out some things that sometimes become, they are areas in life where sometimes it's a little bit difficult for some to live by faith. For some, not for others, depending on what area it is. In the area of giving. In the area of giving to others. God says, in essence, in His Word, you can't outgive God. That is, He says, you give, and I'll make sure that you get given too. God will make sure that you'll have everything you need. You just be a person who listens to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God, asks God His wisdom and His help, and then when He leads you to give something, then obey Him and trust faith. Trust God to do what it is He says He'll do. If you're a believer, if you're a part of this church, then you make sure that you are giving on a regular basis to allow this ministry to continue. Be a giver when it comes to supporting missionaries. Be a person who looks for opportunity to give. Ask God to do it. And then when God works in your heart, obey God and trust God that He'll do what He says. Because He will. Believe God about these things. See, live by faith. You cannot be kinetically used by God until you come to the place where you're willing to base your life, every bit of it, how you treat your spouse, how you think of others, how you give, how you raise your family, until you're willing to base your life upon what the Word of God says and believe that what He says is so and trust Him for the power to do it, until you're willing to come to that place, you'll never be kinetically used by God. Potential? Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. You may have all kinds of potential. There may be all kinds of things that God could do through you, but it won't happen until you're willing to take God at His Word. About giving. Hey, how about sharing the gospel? Sometimes people will use the excuse of, well, it's just not my personality to give people the gospel. Okay, now listen, and please hear this. God does not call people just with certain personalities to be sharers of the good news. God says in His Word, Jesus Christ said as His great commission, as He's leaving, hey, go and tell people about who I am and about what I have done. Well, somebody says, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. Okay, but we don't live by our feelings. Not if we're going to be kinetically used by God. We live by faith. And if God says to do something, then He'll enable us or empower us to do it. So live by faith when it comes to sharing the gospel. Be a person who's always ready to listen to the Spirit's voice. Follow God's leading. Be ready with tracts in hand when you're out and about. Just be ready and willing and open to sharing the gospel. And listen, when God speaks to you, when God touches your heart, when He puts on your heart, on your mind, a person that you see, and He says, hey, that's a person that needs the gospel, then by faith, live going over and sharing the gospel with them. See, some people would say, well, I don't have a lot of money, so I can't give. And we say, hey, live by faith. Trust God. He'll take care of it. Some people say, I don't have the personality to be able to share the gospel. And to that, God says, hey, live by faith. Trust God. He'll give you everything that you need. He'll provide for you. See, the deal is, in all areas of life, we live by faith. I may have mentioned this earlier, but it's one of my favorite stories concerning faith. In the Bible. That is Peter in the midst of the boat when Jesus came walking across the sea. And Jesus walking, the disciples don't know who He is. They get scared. And so one of them says, it's the Lord. And so they cry out, Lord, if that's You. Peter says, Lord, if that's You, bid me come to You on the water. And then Peter's worst nightmare takes place because the Lord Jesus says, come on. It's like, oh, You ever say something and wish you hadn't said it? Well, that's Peter at this moment. And so Peter has to step out of the boat at that moment, and his faith is upon the word of Christ. It's not his power, it's Christ's power. Okay, look, we can live by faith. We can live by faith. And if we're going to be kinetically used by God, there's no other way to begin but by living by faith. And now abideth, the Bible says, faith, hope, charity, these three. Moving from potential to kinetic, from what should be to what is, from what could be to what is happening, begins when you live by faith. Secondly, hope. And now abideth, faith, and then hope. Okay, so what is hope? Well, first of all, what hope is not? Hope is not, when the Bible talks about hope, it's not like, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. It's not, let me go buy a lottery ticket and see what happens. It's not, hey, by the way, are these digit stores that are everywhere, is that a gambling thing? Is that what it is? I have not seen, there's a lot of those things around here. Must be a good place to make lots of money. I'm sure lots of people make their living right there. A fool and his money are soon parted. Beware. Okay, so hope. That's when people go, I hope so. All right. When the Bible talks about hope, you know this. Hope is not maybe. Hope is a forward look with assurance. In other words, I'm looking ahead and I see light at the end of the tunnel. I know what's coming. Now, it's connected to faith. By faith, I believe what God says is so. Hope is the assurance with which I live based upon what I see by faith. Okay, there's not anybody in the world that has more hope than a believer. If you and I really believe what we claim to believe concerning God that is revealed by His Word, what do we have to fear? What can come? Is He not a sovereign God who knows everything that's going on and takes care of everything? Well, if I believe that, then even in the midst of the most difficult trial, it may hurt, it may sting, there may be tears, but in it all, I have hope because I serve a God who is big and who loves me. And even unto death, I have hope. What's the worst thing that can happen? Somebody kills me? Great, to be present, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Now, I'm not like asking to go tonight. I'm just saying that even if something were to happen, we as believers have hope. Let me tell you something. Hope is what shines to other people. The hope of a believer is what shines out, and hope shines in the midst of the darkest times. Light shines in darkness. Hope shines in the midst of trials in the lives of people. So yes, nobody asks for trials. Nobody says, let me go through a difficult time. But in the midst of the difficult time, keep your brain straight in faith that God is who He says He is, and you can live with peace in your heart and a smile on your face. Oh, tears at times, yes, but an overall smile on your face because we serve a big God. Pastor knows an evangelist friend of mine whose name is Matt Downs. He's a young evangelist, a couple years younger than I am. And I've heard Matt say before, he'll be talking to a congregation of people, and he'll say something that you're supposed to respond. So go ahead and respond the way you're supposed to respond, okay? Hey, it's good to be saved, isn't it? And you're supposed to respond a little bit better than that. All right, let's try it one more time. It's good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah. Then he'll say, then tell your face about it. Now, I would never say that because that sounds way too mean, but my friend does. All right. What's that about? Well, what that is let the hope of Christ, let it be inside of you stirring up so that it comes out. Now, I know not everybody's face, not everybody's mouth turns up. Some of you, bless your heart, your mouth turns down. I understand that. You're just built that way. It does take fewer muscles to smile than it does to frown. But, okay, but I border on the edge of saying, fake it, and I don't want to do that. That's not the point. You know that, right? Christianity is not about faking it in front of people. Christianity is about what's on the inside showing itself on the outside. I mean, it's what's inside, but it's going to come out. And of the hope that we live with, that I can go through any trial, okay, I can still be at ease, be at peace, because I serve a big God. I have a good friend. I think I've told you about her before. Karen Roberts. Karen Roberts is her name. She lives in Florida. She has cancer. She's had it ever since we've known her, which is about 14 years. Karen's supposed to have been dead a long time ago. She has congestive heart failure and lung issues, just all kinds of issues. There's no reason. I've never known her when she hasn't been either carrying behind her an oxygen tank or else a machine on her side that produces oxygen for her to be able to breathe, except for when she was trying to build up her lung muscles at a time to have a surgery. She just always has oxygen with her, okay? So, Karen, I mean, if there's anybody that could be in despair, you're talking 14 years of this. That's a long time. A mother of two, a wife, just a little bit older than I am. Karen's response when the doctor says, Karen, it doesn't look good, has consistently been, I know, but it's okay. Now, that response is not something that's faked. You can fake that for a while. That is something that comes from a hope where you can look forward and know by faith everything that God promised is true. And I can live with peace in my heart and a smile on my face because he's a big God who accomplishes that. Okay, so allow the hope that God gives live inside of you. It is what shines out, and we can't be used by God the way that God wants to use us. We have potential because he's God. We have potential because we're human beings and God wants to. But until we live by faith and have along with it hope, then we'll never move to kinetically being used by God the way God wants to use us. Allow hope to live on the inside in all things. Let the hope of God rule. Let it stir inside of you. Okay, so the Bible says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. Charity. Charity, another word we oftentimes use for charity is the word love. And that's what the 1 Corinthians 13 is about, is about love. Now, real quickly, let's define it, because love gets kind of squirrely if you're not careful. It's a little bit hard to define things like love or hate or things like that, but let me do the best I can. Well, I'll give you the definition that a young girl gave to a friend of mine one time, and then we'll go from there. This young teenage girl said to a friend of mine, she said, love is a feeling you feel when you feel something you've never felt before. That's deep and theological right there. If you're thinking to yourself, amen, that's what love is, you're wrong. That's not what love is. Love is not a feeling you feel when you feel something you've never felt before. But what is it? Well, it's hard to define. We do know that love always does what is right. So here's the way I define love, and I think scripturally it matches up. Love is a desire that drives me to do what is right or best for someone else. Love is a desire that drives me to do what is right or best for someone else. Love does not always have with it the emotion or the feel good, but love always does what's right, so it's a desire that drives me to do what's right or best for somebody else. Here's a guy and a girl, 16 years old, guy and a girl, 16 years old, and he says to her, if you love me, you'd whatever. Okay, that's not love, because love does what's right or best for the person. I've told teenage guys, if you love her, you'll keep your grubby hands to yourself, because that's doing what's right by them. And with other people, for us, love is what drives us to do what's right or best for other people. But love is active. Love is active. I don't love somebody just because I don't dislike them. In other words, I can't say, well, I love that person just because I'm not actively doing something against them. Love drives me to do what's right. If I'm going to show love, if I'm going to share love, if I'm going to have love on the inside, it's a desire that's always helping me look at other people and say, what can I do that's going to be right or best for that person? Okay. Love is an absolute necessity. Listen, if we're going to be kinetically used by God, faith is the foundation of who we are. We believe that what God says is so. We depend upon God for the power to do it. Hope shines out. It's the catalyst whereby we show to other people the faith that we have on the inside. It allows us to smile in the midst of difficulty, to have rest and peace though things are hard. It allows us to go through life, even to death, without having to worry or live concerned. But it is love. It is love for other people, people outside of these walls, people who look different, dress different, smell different, people who have different ways of thinking, who don't even speak the same language that we do, though they may use English. They talk a totally different way than what we do. It is love for them that is the catalyst that God uses for us to be able to reach them with the faith and hope that we have. You have faith? Great. Show me your faith by your love to other people. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is teaching. You've got hope on the inside? Great. But your hope remains useless to the people around you if it is not empowered, infused with the love of Christ towards others. And may I remind you again that love is something that we actively do, that we seek towards each other, yes, inside the church, but outside of the church. Okay, we have around us people who need the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have hope that allows you to look past this life and know that God is in charge, but it is your love for others that is going to provide for you the opportunity to share your faith with those people. You know the saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care? Yeah, it's really accurate. It really is. In our churches, in the churches that we're privileged to go to, we have done really well at sticking by the book. When it comes to faith, we build upon the scriptures. We believe the Bible. We encourage people in hope. But I'm telling you, if we're going to kinetically be used by God, we got to get our hearts and our minds and our lives infused by the love of Christ that reaches out, that looks for opportunities. Hey, when you're at work and somebody's going through a difficult time, don't be the last person to go up to that person and offer a word of kindness. We, who have the hope of Christ, who have faith, we ought to be the ones who look for opportunities to go and help people that maybe don't even like us. What different are we than anybody else if we help those who like us and we disregard those who dislike us? The love of God in us is something that is not natural, it's supernatural. So that it goes beyond and it's supposed to change the way that we live. Okay, look, sir, you're driving down the road, somebody cuts you off and does something. If your family and your vehicle hears you mumble about the person that just did that and what kind of driver they are and what crackerjack box did they get their license out of, if that's the, okay, all right, fine. There are crazy drivers out there. I get that. And sometimes in a moment, it's just, okay. But if we're talking about loving other people, If love never mixes with where we live, then it's absolutely worthless. If we talk about love and preach about love, but it doesn't come out in our actions, if it doesn't come out at work or in the vehicle, if it doesn't come out well, somebody says they can't hear what I say. Okay, but again, I say Christianity is not a show. It is something that's supposed to happen on the inside. Well, you say, I'm just not that type of person. That's okay. God can make you that kind of person. That's why He gives us His Word. That's why His Spirit lives in us. That's why when we see an area of our life where we're not where we ought to be, and we're not kinetically being used by God the way that we ought to, we say, God, I'm not where I need to be. My attitude, my temper, my thoughts are on me and not on other people. God, would you please change the way that I think? Don't you think God is big enough to do that? Don't you think He wants to? Okay. Here's the deal. You want to be kinetically used by God? You want to be a rock rolling down the hill? Maybe not the best illustration. Maybe I should try something else. Do you want your life to be used by God to make a difference in the lives of other people? Hey, have faith. Have faith. Live by faith. Follow the word. Obey God in every area. Live with hope. It shines out. It shows other people who we belong to and that we really believe in the God that we say we believe in. But let me tell you something. You and I have no chance of making a difference where we are with the people that are around us if our words are selfish, arrogant, self-serving, angry, bitter. Let God do a work in your heart so that you can share and show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to other people. You don't know my parents, but my mom and dad, my dad was my pastor for most of my growing up life. If my mom and dad were here today, you wouldn't look at my dad and go, "Oh, wow, he was a pastor." While he was a student of the Bible, he was not necessarily a great speaker. He's not asked to speak at conferences. It just wasn't his gift. He was a studier of the Bible and faithfully preached the Bible, but he wasn't like an eloquent person. It just wasn't him. My mom, you don't look at her and go, "Wow, that is like the picture of a pastor's. That is the picture of a pastor's wife." Whew, you can just tell just by the way she walks. She just walks with grace and elegance. It's just not my mom. It's just not my mom. That's not the way they look. But let me tell you what my parents do. My parents love people. They do. They always have. You probably are aware of the fact that every once in a while, in a blue moon, in some churches somewhere, there are issues that go on. Now, not your church, obviously, not a church you've ever been around, but in some churches somewhere, sometimes there are issues that go on. Well, obviously, growing up in church, growing up with my dad being the pastor, some of those issues happened while we were there. I remember a meeting specifically where I was asked to leave. I was 15 years old, and somebody said, "Well, he's not 16, he can't be in here, he needs to leave." Well, come to find out, as I get a little older, I find out the reason why they wanted me to leave was because of what they were about to do to my dad. In that situation specifically, obviously Dad was heartbroken. He's poured his life into the people. He has spent time. He's preached to them. He loves them dearly. In that particular instance, within a couple of weeks, the very people at the heart of the issue, we were over visiting, spending time with, caring about. Mom and Dad never said, they didn't tell me what had happened. They never brought up anybody in particular, nobody's name in particular. Mom and Dad just loved people, quick to forgive, and very loving. If my mom were here, within 5 minutes, she would find the person who doesn't have a friend, and she'd be sitting by that person. Now, if she comes and sits by you, don't be offended. She just has a knack at finding people who are kind of the outcast, and she'll go up and she just loves them. Okay, so my dad's not a great speaker. My mom's not the picture of grace and elegance when it comes to being a pastor's wife. But my parents could travel north to south, east to west, and stay with people all along the road in whose lives they have had tremendous influence because they love people. You want to know the human reason why I'm in the ministry? Humanly. I mean, God called me. But humanly, why I don't hate the ministry as a preacher's kid is because my parents were real. They just loved people. You say, "Oh, that's good because he was a pastor." No, no, no. He was a Christian. And you are too. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, man, let the love of Christ be actively reaching out into the lives of people. And this goes for everybody at every age. Look for opportunities to love, to care for other people. Do you want to move from potentially being used by God to kinetically being used by God? Let me tell you what needs to happen. Let me summarize this for you. "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three." Oh, and by the way, the greatest of these? Yeah. because you can't be used by God until you're willing to love other people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd impress on this truth.